Good morning. Could you please turn in your bulletins to the call to worship? Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love. Scrub away our sins and make us clean. Wash us until we are whiter than snow. Don't chase us from you or take your Holy Spirit away. We light a light in the name of the God who creates life, the Savior who loves life, and the Spirit who is the fire of life. Restore us, O living God, by the breath of your Spirit. We are wilted and weary on this journey toward Easter, anxious for restoration to come once and for all. Revive us, O Lord. There are palms to wave and crosses to carry and Easter eggs to find. This is the praise to give and work to be done and surprising life to nurture. No matter our tired bones, you are not finished. By your goodness and grace, we are not finished.
Please take the song out of the back of your hymnal, your blue hymnal. My soul cries out. We'll stand to sing verses 2 and 3. This is a song that speaks of God's coming in power and love. But let's keep this Irish melody lilting. Please stand. And your mercy will last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Your very name puts the proud to shame, and to those who before you yearn, you will show your might, put the sun to flight, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the bars of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. From the halls of power to the fortress tower, not a stone will be left on stone. Let the king beware, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The hungry poor shall weep no more, for the food they can never yearn. There are tables spread, every mouth be fed, for the world is about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring, let the bars of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn.
Good morning. Are there any guests who would like to be introduced today? Okay. So we'll move into announcements. First, number one, Mary Pankratz is listed as being in Concordia Hospital. That is now incorrect. She has gone home. Also, Astrid Giesbrecht, daughter of Jacob and Susanna Giesbrecht, had a son born on Friday. Elijah Jacob was born at 4 pounds. Please keep Astrid and Elijah in your prayers. And also we have some numbers from the Schmorg. We raised $9,142. Our condolences go out to Peter and Hilda Sawatsky and Herman and Elsa Sawatsky, along with their families and friends, on the passing of their sister, Martha Reimer, on March 15, 2015. The funeral service took place at Southland Church in Steinbach on Thursday, March 19, 2015. Condolences also go out to Charles and Karen Lage and their family on the passing of Charles's first son, Stephen's grandmother, Tilly Williams. We also ask that you continue to pray for Louise and Rudy Lage as Louise continues to recover from her surgeries. We also ask that you pray for Waldemar Tom's daughter, Glenda Arnott, who is in the hospital with complications resulting from her broken leg. Please also continue to keep Gary and Donna Hebert in your prayers as Gary nears the end of his cancer treatments. And please pray for Peter Sawatsky as he recuperates from a fall last week. Congratulations go out to Ryan Voth, Don and Trudy Voth's son, and the band he plays with, the Brothers Landreth. The group recently won the Juno Roots Traditional Album of the Year Award for the album Let It Lie. And we'd also like to invite everyone to the Easter Pascha breakfast taking place on Easter at 9 a.m. before the worship service. We ask that you bring one Pascha and drop it off in the kitchen on Sunday morning before the breakfast. Breakfast will be served, which is fruit, eggs, ham, cheese, and jam, as well as the Pascha. And you can invite anyone you wish to join us, because it's a nice breakfast thing. Yes, and now if my mom could come up to do the children's story. Or the children come down to my mom.
Good morning. Are your bellies still full from supper last night? Mine is. I ate too much. Okay, this morning the grown-ups are going to be listening to Pastor Gary talk to us about stuff. And one of the verses that is for the grown-ups this morning is, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where they can get broken and stolen, but store up treasures for yourself in heaven where things won't get broken or stolen. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." So now I'm going to ask you, how many of you collect stuff? What kind of stuff do you like to collect? Connor likes to collect everything. I'm sorry, Mom and Dad Connor. Nadia, what do you like to collect? Helpful things, good. Caleb, what do you collect? Gold. Gold is good to collect. What do you collect, honey? Charms for a charm bracelet, Astrid. Shells, I like collecting that too. How about you? Hockey cards, there's lots of things to collect. Okay, we can't listen to all of them. People want to go home and eat lunch. So, one of the things I collect and that I like to do is I like to crochet. So I have quite a bit of yarn that I have in my house. I don't know if it's a collection, but I have a lot of yarn. Now, Jesus was warning his friends about collecting treasure on earth, because what can happen to the stuff that you guys like to collect? What might happen to your hockey cards, buddy? They might get ripped or get lost. What could happen to the charms on your charm bracelet? They could get rusty or broken, right? Now, Jesus says that we should be collecting treasure in heaven. How are we going to collect treasure for heaven? Nadia? By obeying God. That's number one on my paper. Good job. Anyone else? No? Yep, Piper? How can you collect treasure in heaven? Can you listen to Mom and Dad and do what they ask you to do? Uh-huh, yeah. Can we come to church and be with the people that love God and share time with them? Yes. So this story got me thinking about all the yarn I have. And, you know, it's just yarn. So what I did is I made stuff. And I thought maybe I could share it with you guys. But I'm looking. Sometimes there's only 5 kids here. And I thought I had lots. I have 23 little things that I want to share with you. They're little eggs for Easter and stuff. So if you're a bigger guy, maybe wait to the end, and we'll write down your name, and I'll bring you something next week, okay? So I'm going to share some of my treasure, and I'm hoping that by sharing the treasure that I have here, maybe I'm getting some treasure for myself up in heaven. Okay, so come see me before you go for Sunday school. So let's bow for prayer. Dear God, we want our hearts to be in heaven with you. Help us to concentrate on storing up treasures in heaven by obeying you, helping others, giving you money, sharing Jesus with our friends, and spending time at church, learning, working, and serving you. Amen.
I walk this road so very long ago to make the way so you would know. I walk the road with holes in my hands and feet to make the way. Come follow me. Journey begins and ends with me. run the race, thinking you've almost won, and then you may find you've only begun. You're on the road, thinking you're far from here, and then you may find you're very near. No, you are not alone. You will be free indeed. The journey begins and ends with me. 1,000,000 miles, it starts with a step or two. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for you. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for you.
Now, if anyone has anything to share, someone has a roaming mic.
I want to thank everybody who volunteered to make our Smorg another success yesterday. In particular, and I know we shouldn't mention names, I don't wonder sometimes if we realize the work that goes in. To all the people who work and get really hot in the kitchen, who get cramped hands from peeling potatoes, and who help in every way. But especially, I want to thank Adina Peters, who helped me coordinate everything this year. I wasn't my usual energetic self. And to Anna and Diedrich Sawatzky, who are in that kitchen year after year after year. Sorry, Anna and Diedrich Funk. I messed up and I had it written down. Sorry. And Anna Sawatzky, and to Sarah Cowenhorn, who gets her meatball group together and always gives us lots of pickles and beets and wonderful things for the table. And just to everybody, Chris Titterton also for picking up all that meat and getting things delivered. It's a lot of work, and I really appreciate everybody who helps so that it can be successful and we can enjoy the fruits of the labor that everybody puts in for that. Thanks.
And lady, we appreciate what you do for the Smorg as well. We are a community. God has given us to each other to encourage and to support and to pray for. And I hope that you take your bulletins home and put them up and use them as your prayer calendar as you go through the week. There are lots of people in here. Pray especially for people in care homes. We have wonderful care homes and they get well treated. But it's still lonely in there and families can't visit as much as they want. So I'd like to really encourage you to use these things throughout the week. For now, would you bow with me as we pray? God, it is so amazing to get together every Sunday to rub shoulders with people that we have come to love and appreciate, to turn our eyes to you. It changes the perspective of our lives. And rather than looking at the weather or our finances or whatever the case may be, when we turn our eyes to you, we see the world as you do. And so we thank you. Thank you for the salvation that you have brought us in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of each other. Thank you for the gifts that you have given us, the way that we are able to help. Thank you for the hope that you place within us for this world. Sometimes things look a little bleak. But we also realize as we look at you that we have not always been the people you have called us to be. There are times when we have not used our gifts, we have not encouraged each other, we have not supported each other, we have not been hopeful. We are so grateful for your forgiveness. We have mentioned a bunch of people in our bulletin, people that we care deeply about. We ask that you would be with them and be with us as we support each other in prayer through the week. God, we have come this morning once again to commit ourselves to faithfully follow you. Thank you for the way that you believe in us and give us gifts to build up the church. Be with us as we commit ourselves to follow you through our lives each day.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all thy worlds, thy hand. see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe hath made. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to
chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 20 and 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Please turn in your blue hymnals to number 48, All Creatures of Our God and King. Just like the beautiful song that Chantel and Tracy did, How Great Thou Art, this song also speaks about God's majesty and power. Please stand to sing Listen carefully, verse 1, 2, 5, and 7.
It's good to see all of you this morning. We have these wonderful services where people cross paths. You know, they're coming back from somewhere and they haven't left for somewhere else yet. And so we have a number of you back, so it's great to have you here this morning. Before we take a look at this, let's take a moment to pray. God, we are grateful for life, and it's a bit of a balancing act to keep everything in order. So be with us as we contemplate this morning what it means faithfully follow you. Just thinking as I was listening to Ben read the scripture, this sounds like the annual guilt sermon. Get some mileage out of this one. Okay, this is what you're not living up to. But then I go home feeling guilty too, and that's no fun at all. So let's start at a different place. Our lives are full of stuff. Our heads are full of stuff. And probably some of you, as you're drifting in and out of the sermon, will be thinking about the next car you'd like to buy or the new fashions that are out there. You saw the coolest shoes or tools or something that you need. And we gather them all together and we say, this is so great. We live in a consumer-oriented society. Can you imagine what would happen if we started wearing our clothes till we wore them out? If we started driving our cars till they were shot? If we didn't buy a bigger house when our kids left home, we just used what we have. I'm telling you something, the numbers, the consumer spending would just really be wreak havoc on the GDP, I think, of Canada. Our country depends on us doing that. Have you ever sat and looked at all the stuff you have? One of the most embarrassing times of our life, at least for me, I think, was when we moved from Saskatoon to Steinbeck. We had a friend in the church who rented out semi-trailers. So he said, I'll move you. And he backed a 20-foot trailer up to our house. Excellent. We have a small house. No problem. What'll we do with all the spare room, right? Yeah. So we filled the trailer up and looked around the house. It was still full of stuff. And so we said to the guy, do you have a bigger one? He backed up a 52-foot trailer. We did not fill that one. You know, it was about 5 or 6 feet of stuff. And I said, where'd it come from? So some of those of you who are looking smug, you go ahead and move one of these days and see how smug you feel. There's nothing wrong with stuff. The Bible doesn't say stuff is evil. In fact, there's quite a few places where it kind of says it's kind of cool. If you look at the Garden of Eden or the children of Israel coming into Canaan, it seems like stuff is part of the perk. God calls Abraham. Hey, Abe, I want you to go to this country. I'll give you directions as we go. Don't worry. And I'm going to give you stuff. Lots of land, camels and donkeys and sheep, in case you like those kind of things. All sorts of stuff. You're going to have all sorts of stuff. It's great. So we look at that and we say, I guess God thinks it's okay. But, this is where the guilt comes in, but there are the other passages. Passages like Joshua 7, they've just smashed Jericho down, and Achan is looking around and says, here's some gold and silver and some nice clothes. It's just going to waste. I'll just take them home. Never know. Might come in handy. Long story short, he died for that. Acts chapter 6:5, make it 5. Priscilla and Aquila, everybody's liquidating all their assets and they're bringing the money to the church. And they said, boy, we look kind of silly, don't we? We're still living in our house and have 2 cars and like that. So they said, tell you what we'll do. We'll sell everything. We'll keep part of it in RBC and we'll bring the rest and tell them that's everything. And so they do that. And well, you know how that one turns out. Not so good. For lying to God and to the church, they also land up in dead. Luke chapter 16, rich man and Lazarus. You know how this one goes. This is even worse. So the rich man, and the passage goes on to say he had all the comforts of life. And he driving down the driveway every day in his Jag, trying to miss this guy who lives down there somewhere. Never runs him over. He's good about it. And what happens to him on Judgment Day? He goes to hell. It's really bad. So we're left with this struggle. What are we doing now? And on one side, the Bible seems to say stuff is okay. On another side, stuff gets us in trouble. How do we balance that out? What's the path that we take? The path I've usually taken is I feel guilty for a day or two and then I forget about it and go on with life. But there's another way of dealing with that. Throughout Lent, we've been looking at ways in which we're invited to mature or grow in our faith. And this is one of them. We're invited, as we look at the stuff that we have, to consider what does it mean to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, when we have our closets full and our houses full, and we go on vacation once in a while to get away from all our stuff. Well, we start here, and this is where we must start as followers of Jesus. God takes a look at us and he says, my goodness, I love these people so much. And there they are messing up their life. I'm going to come down. So he comes down in the person of Jesus and he teaches us how to live and he dies for us and rises again. And he says, now the door is open. If you step forward to be adopted as children of God. And we go, woohoo. And he says, not so fast. And then God pulls out this paper and he says, I want you to sign this. He slips it across the desk. And there on the top it says, as a follower of Jesus, I give everything I have to God. Everything. Not only the second car, but the first one too. Not only the house at the lake, but the one you live in. Even your retirement money. We deed it all over to God, and God says, now I want you to sign this. We go, whoa, I worked hard for that stuff. And we take a look at what makes life meaningful, and we say, okay. We sign it, and then God pushes it back and says, I want you to look after it. I want you to take care of this stuff. I'm not going to be checking in on you. I'm not looking over your shoulder. I'm not here to create guilt. I want you to look after this stuff. Now we have a very different question in front of us, don't we? Rather than asking, what do we do with all our stuff? The question now is, how do we look after all the stuff that God has entrusted us with? I don't know from what looks like from where you sit, but from where I sit, that's pretty different. So what is the answer? I don't know. But let me share with you a couple of points that I use to struggle with this and invite you to struggle with it in your own way. And for those of you who have everything put together, pray for the rest of us. We're glad both of you are here. There's four things that I'd like to suggest that we work at. The first one is that we follow faithfully. We've got somebody's stuff here. What are we going to do with it? So let's say you get a job at a place and your boss calls you in the first day and says, hey, good to have you as part of the family here, and I just wanted to let you know what you've got at your disposal to work with. You're in charge of 10 people, so make sure you keep them busy. We're giving you a company car. It's a nice one. It's not a Dodge. We're giving you this great office with a view of the river. You can decorate it how you want to, and your budget is $400,000. You come home and you say to your spouse, guess what? We're never doing yard work or cleaning the house again. I got 10 people working for me. And that car you were complaining about, forget it. We got a new one. And we've always wanted to go on holidays. We got $400,000 to work with. We're going to spend the first half year driving around in the U.S. and Canada. And then we're going to Europe. And guess what? They're going to give me another $400,000 next year. Plus a salary. Somewhere along the way, the boss calls you in and says, really glad you're enjoying the job and all, but kind of the idea here at this company is to make some money for the company. And so how about you start showing up at work and the people, instead of doing your flower beds, are working here. And the money that you spend, we'd like to see a bit of return in here. And if it doesn't churn around by next week, you're fired. No different with our Christian life. The stuff that we have given to God, God looks to us and says, how is that reflecting my values and my principles? We talk about the kingdom of God coming. How is what I'm leaving you with helping the kingdom of God to come? Now, we want to enjoy this stuff. We've decided earlier on, that's okay. But the first question is, am I faithfully following Jesus in the way I'm using this stuff? The second thing that I need to ask myself is, am I living responsibly? Back to a story. So when a person is single, mostly we concern ourselves with ourselves. I mean, we look after other people and all that kind of stuff, but we make our own decisions. If you decide to get married, you begin to take the other person into account. You make big decisions without taking the other person into account. I hope you have a heated garage. That's where you're going to be living. We consider each other. When, let's say, you decide to have children, you factor them in. So you go to buy a car. You walk into the GM dealership looking for something nice, practical. See a shiny red Corvette. You say, that'll do. It's streamlined. I'll bet you it gets good gas mileage. So you buy it. You go home, and your spouse says, there's a seat for me. Four children. What, you buy rollerblades to hang onto the bumper? You've got four children. You buy a minivan. And you like it. Similarly with a house. You don't buy a penthouse, you know, bedrooms, a one-bedroom apartment. You buy a bungalow and so on and so. But here's the neat thing. It's a responsibility we have. But it's a joyful responsibility, and you're excited about the minivan with the stowaway seats because you can put bicycles in there. And you love the little house that you live in with all your kids because it brings you together. It's so wonderful. Responsibility doesn't mean drudgery. Responsibility means that we embrace something, and God gives us a responsibility as well. And the responsibility is to use what we have for His kingdom. It doesn't have to be drudgery. It's wonderful. The third thing that we need to do, or that I need to do, as look at how I deal with the stuff that I have, is that I want to give generously and graciously. Now, the first picture always is a picture of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. I quote that one every second Sunday. It is so amazing. If you want to memorize a verse, memorize the first 11 memorize the first 11 verses of that chapter. It says, God was in heaven. He looked down at His creation and said, they're in trouble. I'm going to be down there to help them. Set aside all the glory of heaven. Went down to live with us. Taught us. Died on the cross for us. Now, He says, there's your example. Treat other people like that. With graciousness and generosity. Consider others better than yourself. He says, I think it's verse 5 of that passage. We are invited to use our stuff graciously and generously. Joseph is a good example. Joseph's brothers sold him. There are many who would like to sell their brothers and sisters, I'm sure, when they're younger. I'm sure I did too. But it wasn't nice. And they sold him and he went off to Egypt. And what's his response? When he has opportunity, he is gracious and generous with his wisdom. And then in his position. And he finally gets a place where he has power. And he's also gracious and generous there, looking after the people for the years that are going to be tough. And then his brothers show up. He messes with them a little bit. I kind of like that part. He messes with them a little bit. And in the end, what does he do? Exercises incredible generosity and graciousness toward them. He says, I know you were trying to do me in, but here's what I'm going to do with what's at my disposal. We're going to look after you. We're going to take care of this. Generosity. One of the things that I need to remember is that generosity has more to do with my heart than my wallet. Remember that story where the woman gives her 2 cents? Jesus is sitting at the temple and these people come along. Rich people come along and chuck their money in. They wait for somebody to listen. Throw their money in, clang, clang, clang. And they sit there and smile. What a wonderful thing they've done. You know, they gave a lot of money. These people were likely wealthy and they were careful. It said 10%. They gave 10%. That place couldn't have run without them. And Jesus said they missed the point. That's not generosity. That's not graciousness. Then a lady comes along, she's looking around, make sure nobody sees, drops in 2 cents. How much is 2 cents? You go to Tim Hortons, you order something for $6.02, you give them $6, and they say, 2 cents. That's what 2 cents is. Nothing. And God says, she's got it. Out of her little, she gave generously and graciously because she appreciated what God did. And that's our call. When we are generous, it doesn't mean you give things. All right, already, have the keys. That's not generous. Generosity starts here. We are invited to be gracious and generous with what we have. Just a comment about 10%. I don't believe in 10%. I don't think that's biblical. There's some Old Testament things, but if you add up all the things we're supposed to give in the Bible, it comes out to about 30%. So, cough up, folks. What I believe that the Bible is inviting us to do is become gracious and generous givers in all the things we do. When it comes to church, I love to see people do proportional giving. If you can give a quarter of 1%, you put it in your budget, and every month you look at your budget. You do check them regularly. Every month you look at your budget, you're reminded it all belongs to God. Right now, this is what I've got to give. I've seen people give more than they could afford to church and hurt themselves. That doesn't help anybody. On the other side, for some people, 10%, they can do a lot better than that. So it's not the percentage, it's your heart. We come and we give what we can, participating in the kingdom of God. So we need to decide what we need to give generously to. There are people, phone in, I'm assuming they're phoning you. They're sure phoning me and telling me what they think I should be generous with. And they fill my mailbox with little things that say, give money to this organization and that ministry and this disease and everything else. They're telling me what to be generous with. And I need to sit down. We need to sit down and sort that out. What is it that we can be generous with? We can't do everything. What do we do? Let's sort it out. Each of you has to do that for yourselves, but with a heart of generosity. Some of us give out of guilt. God doesn't need our money. Do you know that? God doesn't need our money. He invites us to participate, and he says, you want to be a part of this? Welcome in. Because when we give, we feel like we belong, right? The fourth thing that I need to consider as I think about stuff is that I need to hold things loosely. Stuff has a way of worming its way into our heart until we begin to define ourselves by our stuff. Are there any 16-year-olds here? When you're 16 and you're a guy, I don't know, women are much more logical than guys, and you're a guy and you get a car, who are you? You're that car. Somebody takes your car away, you think like half of you is missing. Well, that's an age-appropriate kind of thing. Hopefully, we get a little beyond that. But people, stuff still worms its way into our heart. And it wants us to define ourselves as, I'm the person who lives here. I'm the person who does this. I'm the person who drives this. No, we're not. We're people. We need to hold things loosely. And as we hold things loosely, we don't let it wrap itself around us and pull us down. A little while ago, I mentioned the Luke 16 story of the rich man Lazarus. The problem there wasn't that the rich man was rich. Whatever. It was his attitude. He didn't care. He didn't care about anybody else. He was caring about what was in front of him. And all the gospel story is trying to tell us is that guy at the end is important. Don't just think about yourself. Think more broadly. It's not yours. Follow Jesus. Be responsible. Be generous and gracious. And hold it loosely. Ben read some passages before. One of them was from Matthew. It said, don't store up treasure here on earth. It's fleeting. It doesn't stick around forever. Store up in heaven. Another one was from Romans chapter 12. The invitation to be living sacrifices, not conformed to the world, but being transformed, changed, so that the stuff we use becomes different. And there's something really cool that happens in the process. We find balance. When we work at these things carefully, we find balance, and we begin to enjoy the stuff that we have, and we begin to enjoy using the stuff, being generous. It's just such a rush. When you start giving things to other people, being gracious, holding things lightly, and we experience stuff in the place that God intended it to be. God says, here's stuff. It's a part of life. Enjoy it. Use it well. The building of the kingdom of God. May God give you the strength to push through on this discussion and the joy of knowing that what we have is a gift for now. Not for always. Blessing isn't stuff. Blessing is relationship. Blessing is people. May God bless you as you process this material.
The words in number 392, Heart and Mind Possessions, Lord, are a wonderful response to the service. It's about committing everything that we have to God. The melody comes from India and has a definite Asian feel to it. So please sing along and appreciate a different country's expression of giving to God.
Heart and mind possessions, Lord, I offer unto thee. All these were thine, the heart thou didst give them all to me. Wondrous are thy doings unto me. Plans of my thoughts.
now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord turn his face toward us and give us his peace.
Pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those have gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us footprints.